You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today is going to be a short show. It'll be definitely less than an hour. I really need to get out of here and get caught up on the post-production. I have one show that I still need to edit, and that was last Friday's show, and that won't be done until Tuesday morning. So it'll be up by noon. So I wanted to keep today's show definitely under an hour, and I made sure that my show prep wasn't extensive, because the more show prep I do, the longer I tend to go. There is some breaking news, but I don't think it's as important as it first seems. A federal judge has declared that the NSA spying on Americans in terms of gathering their telephone records is unconstitutional. He issued an injunction. However, he stayed the injunction because the National Security Agency will appeal the decision. And that's why I'm saying I don't think it's of any immediate effect. Now, I really think that this will become an issue in the 2014 elections as well as 2016 elections, because this, for some reason, and I think I know why, has united both the left and the right, those that are big supporters of civil liberties, which I am, and I have the same problem with it. What the National Security Agency is doing right now, they've already built this massive data center in Utah, and that enables them to store up to 100, according to people that are in the know on this, up to 100 years of the entire world's traffic in, let me just give you the list. They can store all your telephone calls, all your photographs that you've put up on the internet, all your videos you've put up on the internet, all your emails, your financial records, anything that goes across the internet. For the last 7 to 10 years, no one knows the exact date in which one of these can be stored, and that's what they're doing. What tends to be focused in on is just the so-called metadata or information on the phone calls. And they're getting it not only for all Americans, but everyone worldwide. Now, I'm not as concerned about the fact that they're going worldwide on this, because their function is to prevent the bad guys from attacking the United States. And to do that, they need to spy on their conversations as well as any other communications. And you need to understand, today, for example, you can send message embedded in photographs or embedded in videos. So I'm not surprised that they're definitely storing any traffic from anyone that has all this information. So it's not just telephone calls or the records of phone calls. It's all your telephone calls, as well as any photographs you put up. You know, for example, I have a YouTube channel that I've posted over 65 videos. Now, these videos are primarily on art history, and it's by painter, and it's mainly French Impressionists. I have a couple that aren't, but it's over 65 videos. Now, I'm not a spy. There's nothing embedded in those videos, but someone in a foreign country could post a similar type video and have a channel and put somewhere in a video information. And that's the real challenge. And you got to understand that they would encrypt it as well. So when you're looking for literally a needle in many, many multiple haystacks, that's what you're up against. Now, here's what I object to. I'm a law-abiding citizen. So are most Americans. You know, the population of the United States today is about 318 million people. Let's say 5% of those people are potential bad guys. And I'm talking U.S. citizens here. You're talking about 15 million people. That's a lot just in and of itself. But most people are law-abiding. They're not going to attack the United States. They're not going to engage in armed insurrection. They're going to go about their business. So they're making phone calls. They're sending emails. They're posting videos. They're posting photographs, as well as conversations, social networking, their social networking. All that information is collected. There's no probable cause here. I haven't done anything. And that probably goes for at least 300 million or more Americans. The NSA was not set up to spy on Americans, yet that's exactly what they're doing by collecting this information. Now, they'll say, well, we're not listening to it. We're not reading it. We're not listening to it. What do you got to worry about? The problem is you're violating my Fourth Amendment rights, and that's what this injunction does. It is a violation to unreasonable search and seizures. It's like you came into my house and took my photograph albums, my videos, my correspondence, my emails, whatever. They don't have to come into your house. Anything that goes over the internet or goes over telephone lines, they can capture and have captured. And that's why they're incensed about Snowden blew the whistle on them. Now, what gets me mad, there are oversight committees, intelligence committees, both in the House and Senate, that let this happen. And that's where the real problem lies. And this is going to segue into my second topic. But, you know, if our representatives are in Congress, as representatives and senators on the intelligence committee, are tasked with oversight of what the National Security Agency is doing. And it's clear they gave them the green light to do this. And they're irate about Snowden. Most young people, as well as most libertarians, most classical liberals, I'm saying most here, not everybody, are incensed about this, and legitimately so. And they want to know, where were our representatives? Most of them didn't know a thing about it because they really can't talk about it. If they know anything, they can't talk about it. But we rely on our representatives to stop this nonsense. And I think you're going to see in the next 2 years a law stopping this, because that's what it's going to take. They're not going to stop it. They're going to continue doing this. It's going to take a law really to stop this. It might take 2 years, it might take 4 years, it might take 6 years to pass it, but that's going to happen because this is going to be an issue. And when your congressmen or senators have town hall meetings in their districts or in their states, you need to ask them about this. What are you doing about it, Senator? What are you doing about it, Representative? Fill in the blank. I don't want my email. I don't want my videos. I don't want my telephone conversations. I don't want my photographs. I don't want my financial records. I don't want my medical records. I don't want the National Security Agency to store, collect all these records. Now, they keep denying, well, we're not building dossiers. No, but it's fairly the next step is, if you ever become a target, in other words, you're a suspicious character, what do you think they do? What's the next step? You got it. They assemble all this information into a file. It's not that hard. If you have all the information, connecting it is not that hard. You go by email addresses, telephone numbers. There are unique identifiers, or what database programmers call keys, to connect these databases. That's what we're talking about, and that's what they're doing. You know, they're collecting in one directory all your emails, another all your photographs, another all the unique identifiers, such as your date of birth, your driver's, your name, usually your name, date of birth are fairly well connected, as well as your Social Security number, your addresses, where you're located. It goes on and on and on. They're supposed to be spying on foreign nationals, not U.S. citizens. This is going way over their line of what they should be doing. And why are they doing it? Because they can do it. That's the reason, because they can. And they didn't think they were going to be caught, and they have been caught. And young people are irate about this because they understand that the National Security Agency has the capability. This is expensive, folks, but it doesn't take much space on a hard drive to accumulate this information. Their economies of scale, and what they're trying to do is set up determined links. What are the communities? See, I'm not against the NSA doing its job and to prevent terrorist attacks, for example, but most of that communication is between foreign nationals communicating with someone in the United States. I haven't communicated with anyone abroad. Now, occasionally I might go to a website that's maybe in Great Britain or Australia or New Zealand or any country for that matter, but that's rather rare, and most of the time I might not even know it unless I look up at the URL and see a country identifier. You know, for example, when I talked about those art videos I did. Well, on more than one occasion, I would have links to art museums in France, in Holland, Germany, wherever the paintings were, as well as in the United States. You see, this is a massive waste of money, time and money, that should be really focused on prevention of future attacks. Now, where's the danger? Why am I upset, and why are many young people upset? Why are civil liberties groups upset, both on the left and the right? Well, once you've established and collected this data, you're assuming you can trust the people in power. Let me say that again. You're assuming you can trust the people in power, including the president, including your leaders in Congress. I don't trust the President of the United States, and I don't trust the leadership in Congress. And that's a sad commentary, but that's where I'm at. I don't trust them. And if they need to, they will take advantage of this. If they need to get dirt on you, they will use this capability. You can bet on it. There have been movies on this illustrating how it's done, and one that I would recommend, but the name escapes me. On a past show, I've highlighted, and maybe next show I'll try to dig it out. It's a good movie, too. But this was years ago. The capabilities have advanced quite a bit. You know, for example, I had to go to an office supply place. I was looking for, and I wasn't sure, was it Staples or another other store? I was looking for a portfolio book, and I thought I saw it in Staples, but I looked all over the store, couldn't find anything that even came close, and lo and behold, it was the next store over, Joann's, and I'm glad I went in, because I said, well, I'm here now, it'll only take me 5 minutes, I located it and bought it, so it wasn't a wasted trip, but while I was in Staples, I looked at portable hard drives, and I wanted to see, because I've gotten wind that this is a 2 petabytes of data. That's a lot of data. But the size of this hard drive, it's just a little bigger than a pack of cards. And what I got wind of that, and it's probably going to be next year, that they're going to be coming out with the same size, a 4 petabyte portable hard drive. I remember when I bought a 750 gigabyte hard drive, it's like a brick. And it's heavy. This is real small and contains more than twice what that brick, and it was heavy in a box, and I had to transport it in a box. It wasn't that portable. It was heavy, and it was frankly a nuisance. I still got it, still works, but what I really need after I get a good computer and after I get a full-time job, I will, is one of these portable hard drives, and I really need two because I need a back one to the other, use one and keep one at home, and then periodically back it up. But I'd like to see, and the price has come down by about $50. So I expect next year when the 4 petabyte, they have them all different sizes. You just decide how much money you want to pay. Now, why I'm mentioning this, that could probably have all my information and a lot more to spare. It could put all my videos, all my photographs, all my, I mean, I would be hard-pressed, unless I do an awful lot more long videos, to ever fill that portable hard drive. So it's a long-term investment, but it's really nice because, like I said, it's the size of a pack of cards. It can hold a lot of data, and I've looked into it, and it's probably one of the better ones. Well, guess what? The National Security Agency, they're not messing with small. They don't need portability, but they have these massive servers with hard drives that have your information on it. And it's everyone in the United States. Now, let's be honest with everybody. I seriously doubt if the National Security Agency or anyone in the federal government will ever be looking at my files. I could be wrong because I'm a law-abiding citizen, and that is over 3 million Americans. But my fear and the fear of millions of Americans is if for whatever reason, and it's usually political, and it's usually to get dirt on somebody by an unscrupulous person in the federal government, from the president on down, what you do if they have access to it is get a dossier on me or anybody else. They're looking for any information that could compromise you. They're looking for what's called leverage on you. That's why it's a massive invasion of the privacy of every American, because they're collecting this on every American. So I agree with the judge. I think this is ultimately going to be going to the Supreme Court. And I really think the lawsuit, I have not had time to look at the details of the lawsuit, but I think it needs to be expanded, because if you look at the slides, the PowerPoint slides that Snowden has released and they've been published in the press, and I have blogged on this in the past, and I've talked about it on my radio show. What I'm concluding, as well as other people are concluding, it's not just the so-called metadata or information on your telephone calls. They have that. That's easy. But they have the actual telephone conversation. They have all your emails. They have all your videos, all your financial records, all your photographs, all your transactions with various companies, all your conversations on Facebook or Twitter, all your Twitters or tweets. That's the problem. This is a massive invasion of the American people's privacy that supposedly is protected under the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. And see, I don't trust them. I don't trust the president. I don't trust the leaders of Congress. And guess what? I certainly don't trust the National Security Agency. You see, if they wanted this and to do it right, they should have gone to Congress and there should have been public hearings. Now, they weren't going to do that. Are you crazy? For literally almost decades, very little was known about the National Security Agency. Very little. They don't want to be in the news. And it's only because of Snowden's disclosures and release of some information that the American people are aware of this, and they're not happy. And they're not, they initially are directing their outrage at people, their representatives in Congress, both their, both in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. What are you going to do about this? And there are people in both houses that want to do something about it. And I think in the next coming year, this will be a major issue. Not everyone is that concerned about it. Because one attitude is, and I've heard this many times, well, you know, I'm a law-abiding, I have nothing to hide. I'm an open book. I pay my taxes, pay my bills, never been in prison, never been in jail, on and on and on. So, you see, what you're forgetting is, I'm sure in your lifetime there is probably been one or more instances that you're embarrassed about. You don't tell people about it. I don't know what it could be an affair. It could be a drug problem. It could be some form of addiction like alcohol. It could be a bankruptcy. I don't know what it is, but it's something that you really do not want people to know about. Maybe even your own family, maybe your relatives. You certainly don't want someone in the public to know about. And if you had any communications involving this, for example, in an email, or it could be a transaction, maybe you bought pornography. Again, it's something embarrassing. Use your own imagination. Here's the problem. If for any reason, it could be a law enforcement agency, it could be the FBI, It could be the IRS. It could be the President of the United States. You become a target. In other words, they're investigating you. If whoever is can get access to this information and ask the authority to get access to this information, what can happen? At that point, they build a dossier or file on you. They collate all this information. And then somebody starts reading it or listening to it or viewing it and see who are you involved with. Who have you made payments to? Who has made payments to you? What merchandise do you buy? Do you buy a lot of liquor from your local liquor store? I'm just, like I said, use your imagination. And this goes back. Now, currently, they go back supposedly 7 to 10 years they've been doing this. It's only really within the last year that this has come out. So I applaud the judge that has given the plaintiff injunctive relief. But the problem is the National Security Agency will definitely appeal this injunction, and it'll probably go to the Supreme Court. And I don't know who's going to win. It really should be handled by Congress. There really should be hearings on this. But I'm not optimistic because there are people in Congress, both in the House and the Senate, that don't want this to be stopped. Now, I will say I don't want it to be stopped when it concerns legitimate targets, people that are what I shorthand call bad guys that are out to get us, out to kill us or destroy us. That's their job, and that's legitimate as far as I'm concerned. And nations have been spying on each other from time immemorial. It's nothing new here. And you do need a sophisticated agency such as the NSA to do this espionage work, the intercept of communications, whatever form they take, and the storage of it. Where I draw the line is it shouldn't be on innocent Americans, where there's absolutely no probable cause that they should be on some target list. And people get on become targets that are totally innocent. It could be a misspelling a name, a misidentification, and you're confused with somebody else. It does happen. And the problem is you don't know this. Now, I've done a lot of reading on it. I'm convinced they got anything I've done over the internet or over the telephone, they have. And see, I don't make many telephone phone calls, mainly because I used to do a lot of telephoning when I was in sales. I just don't like calls. I much prefer people email me. And guess what? That has become the common form of communication. Very brief, to the point, short emails. But they have that as well, and they have it on you, me, and everybody else. And their goal is to have it on everyone in the entire world. I think there's a better way to do this. And see, if you didn't have, I won't say unlimited resources, but massive resources to do this, you wouldn't take this approach. This is very much a shotgun approach where you collect everything. That's what they're doing. They're collecting everything. And see, I think a lot of the American people don't even understand this today. It's only if you follow this story fairly closely, and I have, that you know about this. Because I think once the American people fully understand the scope of this and what's involved, I think the majority, the vast majority of Americans would say, stop, stop this. And we want to make sure that they stop it and destroy those the collection of information that they have. See, that's the hard thing. I'm sure there's a section, probably they have duplicates or triplicates of this, at least triplicates, that has all my information. Now, it might not be on one specific hard drive. It might be in dozens. But they can link them. You're linking databases, just like when you apply for Obamacare. What do you think they're doing the same thing? You have what's called a data hub that's getting information from different databases in different from different organizations. And it's a lot of information because every day you're either receiving or sending email. Most of it I delete. You know, I don't particularly. I'm not one of these people that run to the computer and check their email. I usually check it once a day, maybe go several days. At one time, and this is fairly true of most people, when email was new, every hour or two you'd check it. But email now has become really a nuisance. And that's the other thing. And see, the other thing is they're minding, I'm like most people, pay not all my bills, but some of my bills over the internet, such as car payments, electrical bills, insurance. That's my business, and I have no problem doing that. But I do have a problem where everything I do on the internet, guess what? The NSA has a copy of it. Maybe they should sell backups. I'm joking here, by the way. For some that don't have a sense of humor, and some people don't, they should have LifeLock here. Or they could sell that if you've backed, we have a backup of your entire information. If for some reason you should lose it, and I've had a recent experience with losing some information, I don't want to get into that because I'm still sick about this. Hey, you got all my information? Send me a copy of it. Now, I don't need all my information, but there's some information that I've lost, and I truly would like it back, and I'm looking for it as I speak. Use your imagination. It was on a flash drive, and I lost the flash drive, or I'm not sure where it's at. See, I thought I left it in the studio in the computer. Apparently, I didn't. See, on at least two or three other occasions, that's what happened. I came into the studio, and the next day, and it was there. The problem is Saturday and Sunday. Well, Saturday I came into the Richland College, and that's when I found out I lost or misplaced this flash drive. It's a hard drive, and it has a lot of information. Fortunately, I have copies of most of the material, but not all. There are several key files, and the way I found it out, this is the irony. What I was going to do is back up this flash drive and the two other ones that I have. And my heart sunk because I put this flash drive in a certain place and I automatically knew, uh-oh, it's probably not here. And I checked and it's not there. And I said, okay, where did I last see it? Okay, in the studio, that's where it probably is. I'll come in first thing Monday and check it out. And guess what? It wasn't there. That's the first time. Now, what I found when I was getting the recording set up for this broadcast, maybe someone was in the studio. And I need to talk to our technical engineer expert and pass along that information because something changed that shouldn't have been changed on that computer. So I'm pretty sure someone was in this studio. When, I don't know. And that's when they probably got the flash drive. Supposedly don't have a key to it, but I think someone was in here. So there's probably someone with a key that shouldn't have a key that has been in this studio. At least that's my suspicion. Now, do I have any proof of it? No. Other than there was a setting changed that I noticed was changed. It wasn't where it's supposed to be. So someone got in here between Friday and Monday morning, and that's when I think I lost the flash drive because I really think I left it here. It either fell out of my pocket or I left it here, and I usually don't put it in my pocket. But that's my problem. And I was joking that the NSA probably has a copy of it. I'm sure they do. The reason I'm going over this is there are millions, tens of millions, probably hundreds of millions of Americans that really do not understand the scope of the information that the National Security Agency, the NSA, is gathering. Because I think if they did understand the scope, many of them, not all of them, but many of them would be irate. And you literally have to connect the dots and offer them a scenario. See, here's the problem. In the hands of someone that lacks integrity, I guess is the better way to say this. Someone that, whether it's in the NSA, it could be in law enforcement, it could be the FBI, it could be the White House, someone that can get access to this database. If they can get access and have access to this database, they can, if they're properly trained, build a dossier. And they're not doing because it's fun, there's work involved. They're doing it, again, to get leverage on you. That's a fancy way to say to blackmail you, to shut you up. It may be very simple. We don't want you to talk about this. So if you continue to talk about whatever it is, we're going to use this information that we know you don't want disclosed because this will be very embarrassing that you had an affair or you're a lifelong alcoholic or whatever your problem is. You have financial difficulties or did have financial difficulties. You had business transactions with someone that you shouldn't be having business transactions. You see, it's endless, the possibilities. And when you have access, this massive access to all this data, they'll find it, or they could make it up. That's even taking it a step further. I'm not saying they're making up anything yet. It is this, when you get government information concentrated in a database, and it's almost, I'm not saying they have everything you've ever done. No, they don't. But they have 80, 90, 95% of it. Remember, the internet is it started really to take off in 1995. So we're going on 20 years, and from what the PowerPoint slides, and these were classified slides, were showing, they started this activity about 7 to 10 years ago. So they got a lot of stuff on you, and we'll hear more about it. Now, I'm going to spend only a few more minutes really to give you an update on what is going to happen probably tomorrow afternoon. Probably late tomorrow afternoon, the Senate is going to have a vote on the so-called budget deal. Now, it's really a two-step process. The budget deal can be passed with 50 or more votes in the Senate. I think they have, the Democrats and the few Republicans that have indicated that they're going to vote for this, they have the 50 votes. I'm pretty sure of that. But here's the kicker. There's a procedural vote to basically stop discussion on it and take it to the Senate floor. You need 60 votes to do that. I don't think they have the 60 votes yet. I think they're very close. And what I believe is the Senate majority leader, well, one of the leaders in the Democratic Party, indicated that they're short. They need 8 Republican votes to get to the 60. Earlier they said they need at least 5 votes to pass it. I think it's going to pass. I think they're going to get the vote. I think the fix is in. I really do. They're playing this dance right now. And many senators, especially those up for re-election, are being real careful about this. And I really think both sides are being real careful about this. If you listen to the past 2 shows, I'm totally against the budget deal. Because we have in place, as a result of the Budget Control Act of 2011, that was passed in August of 2011, we have spending cuts, so-called sequester cuts, that are in place. And they're law. What this budget deal does is allow spending to increase by $63 billion. That's a correction. Initially, the number was 65. I'm not really sure whether 63 or which number is correct. $63 billion might be without the interest. But there would increase spending in 2014 and 2015, fiscal year 2014 and 2015, by at least $63 billion. Half of that is discretionary defense spending, and half of that is social spending or entitlement spending. Well, call it social spending. Where the Republican senators that are for the appropriators, those are the people both in the Senate and the House that appropriate money, want to increase defense spending in terms of the Republicans, and the Democrats in the Senate and the House want to increase social spending, so they cut a deal. And this is, no one likes the deal. The Democrats don't like it because they really want more taxes, and the Republicans say, no, we're not going to allow any taxes. They are allowing so-called fee increases. If you fly an airplane, if you fly on an airline, those will go up. And under the way the congressional budget scores those types of spending, you and I would think it's a tax, and it is a tax. But the Congressional Budget Office, that really isn't a tax. That is a fee on the people that use the service. But it's a tax increase. You're going to have to spend more money if you're going to go on an airline to support TSA. I would do away with TSA and require the airports and airlines to do their own security because they have the most to lose. If one of those planes gets blown out of the sky, they got a big lawsuit. I think it was the worst idea to have this a federal agency. Give it to the airlines to be responsible for. They will be sensitive to the fact that the people flying on their plane are customers. You'll have at least a little more accountability and sensitivity to the needs of the travelers that are using an airline service. You don't have that anymore. Because the airlines will say, don't blame us. And the airport will say, don't blame us. It's the federal, it's the TSA. People that check you when you check in an airport. I refuse to fly anymore. Very simple. I refuse to fly. I used to fly a lot, and then it gradually declined. But I made up my mind. I'm not going to be subject to that. So guess, and that is just, I think, one reason why American. There are a lot of other reasons, but one reason why American Airlines went bankrupt, just came out of bankruptcy. There are other. I'm not saying it's TSA. There are a lot of reasons for this. But I don't like to be subjected to unreasonable searches and seizures, period. And if you're going to subject me to that, guess what? I'll either walk or drive to wherever I need to be. I won't use your service. And that it'll impact me, but it'll also impact people in the travel and leisure industry. So this budget deal has some taxes in it called fees. But my major objection to this is the fact it increases spending by $45 billion in fiscal year 2014. As far as I'm concerned, the sequester is better. I'm not happy about the sequester because that's not the way to cut spending. I understand the people's concern about sequester, but that's the only thing that's worked in cutting spending. You see, this sends the wrong message to everybody, and they're nibbling on it. You know, Ryan's, you know, said, well, 72% of the sequester is still in place. Yeah, next year you're going to nibble on it some more. That's what the Democrats do. They should have just left the sequester in place, and if they truly wanted to make sure there were no shutdowns in January, they should have passed a so-called clean continuing resolution. If that is, see, the political reason, and it is a political reason, given for passing this so-called budget deal, is to take off the table for 2 years any possibility of a shutdown. And the reason the Republicans want to do this is so they don't get blamed for a shutdown like they did in October. So they want to focus all the attention on the problems of Obamacare. And Obamacare is a major problem. Now, it sounds very convincing, except there's another way to go about this. Don't make this budget deal simple. Bend arms, do whatever you need to do to make sure that the Republican Party, both representatives and senators, vote for a clean resolution. In other words, do the heavy lifting. Bend some elbows or hands or whatever. Don't tell me we don't have the votes. See, that was Ryan was saying, well, we don't have the votes for that. We don't have the votes. Well, then get the votes. And literally, a lot of Republicans as well as Democrats in the House voted for this. Actually, more Republicans voted for the budget deal than Democrats in the House. But it was I was surprised, quite frankly, by the margin, which tells me that the leadership really put the screws to everybody. It took a certain amount of guts to tell the leadership, I'm not voting for this. They could have done the same thing regarding the continuing resolution. Now, why did they do it? Because they have appropriators in the House and the Senate that wanted more defense spending. That's the motivation of the Republicans. And what was the motivation of the Democrats? You have people in the House and Senate that also want more so-called social spending. And to get it, they have the two things that annoy me, doesn't affect me, is the TSA. It's really a tax. Call it what you want. It's a tax. But what I have really objected to is their cut in the indexing for inflation that retirees get. People that are already retired. We're not talking new people in the armed forces or new people in the government. New people that are already retired getting their pensions that were counting on a certain cost of living adjustment now see it's going to be cut. I don't go along with that at all. And what I, so those are two, but the biggies is you increase government spending. And it's a trivial amount. The best deal here was no deal. You've done it for 3 years, the continuing resolution. Make it four. Make it four. But no, they're not going to do it. And I think this will not surprise me. I'm a little bit, I won't say surprised, disappointed. Apparently, Senator Hatch, which I have a lot of respect for the gentleman, and he's generally considered conservative, at least up to now by me, as indicated, he'll probably vote. Now, I'm not clear on the procedural vote or vote for the budget deal, one of the two or both. That disappointed me. It really did. You know, I could see there are several people in the Senate as well as in the House. They're what I call bigs, big interventionist government status. I would be not surprised I'm not surprised McCain is going to vote for this. Automatic, and there are people in the House as well. I was going to have a discussion, what do you do about this? What you do about this, you vote out of office Republicans that voted for this budget deal. If you can find someone that's a good communicator, that has some backing, to challenge everyone in the House and the Senate. In other words, the Tea Party, which is not a party, it's a movement, has to get its act together, and you have to locally, this is a very much a local contest, in congressional districts or in states for senators, to initially primary these people. Because I'll tell you this, and I'll end the show on this note. There's really only one thing these representatives and senators understand, and the one thing they fear is being voted out of office. Their number one priority is to get reelected. And you need, if you threaten, you know, threaten is the wrong word. You go to their offices, you go to their town hall meetings, and you make it known that you did not like their vote on this issue, that you're for balanced budgets, fiscal responsibility, and you will not continue to vote for anyone in Congress that votes for increased government spending. And that's exactly what this bill does. And I got real upset with John Boehner saying there has not been a principle of any conservative principle that's been violated. Excuse me. One of the principal principles of conservative is fiscal responsibility, which means a balanced budget. It doesn't mean year after year after year of these huge deficits. You know, if the deal was to cut spending additional $100 billion above what the sequester did, oh, I'd be for that. Now, realistic here, the Democrats aren't going to go for it. We have divided, dysfunctional government. But you need to make these politicians listen to you. I thought what Boehner did was reprehensible in attacking his base. I think it was stupid, quite frankly. Stupid on his part. Because he lost a lot of his base, and he lost a number of people that have a much larger audience than I do. And I understand why. And I'm not going to go off on the many things. You know, sometimes I agree with what John Boehner's doing. But a lot of times, the question marks keep piling up. And that's not a good, he's been there too long. He should, again, spend more time with his family and his grandchildren. So, as I said, this will be a short show. I'll need to wrap it up right now. You have been listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you for listening, and now back to the music.